Hello and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. My name, as always, is Matt Greenlaw. That's always my name.
It's good to know that you don't change names midweek.
That person on the microphone there and behind the desk.
With a lovely pair.
Is Pete Novikovsky, yeah. Having a bit of a pair.
I like pairs.
Just away from the mic when you eat that.
I'll try to.
And sitting next to me, Michael Rochak. G'day, mate.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Fantastic. We have just finished up recording and radioing live Beyond the 90. So that was fun.
Yeah, it always is being on Beyond the 90. I really enjoy the program, as do you guys. And we always have some fantastic guests. This week we had Francis Leach on, as well as Mel Jinjuski.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one to see on the podcast. So make sure you tune into that if you get the chance this week.
Next week on the show, we'll probably get Scott Condon. He missed out this week, and we apologise to him because he was bumped for Francis Leach. I think he was okay with that. He messaged in saying that he was happy. He was listening to the show and enjoying it so much that he just thought, you know what? I'll come on next week. Thank you to you, Scott. Let's start off the show. Well, there's a lot to talk about, a lot happening down in Melbourne.
But first up, countdown. 83 days till the A-League kicks off.
It is. 83. I'm excited. Well, not.
You're not really excited.
Well, it's going to get an exponentially greater level of excitement.
Yeah, as people keep saying to me, it's too long. It's too long to wait. We need it to happen now.
A lot of stuff happening down in Melbourne. Celtic game, obviously, 1-0 result to Celtic. There was a bit of controversy in the tweets that Victoria Police put out. We'll talk a bit about that. The Matildas, they've been knocked out.
Disappointingly.
Disappointing. Come on, girls. So we'll have a bit of a chat about how they went. A young girl named FIFA Young Player of the World Cup. So congratulations to her. We'll reveal who that is. You probably already know, but we'll reveal it anyway. We also have Costa Barbarousis, star player for Brisbane Roar. He's signed with a Russian club overseas on a 3-year deal.
Hope he likes the cold. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Pete, what do you reckon? Victory, Melbourne victory versus Celtic.
Fantastic game. Celtic brought out basically their full squad. Joshua Samaras was captain for that match. He was absolutely outstanding up front for Celtic. Victory, they didn't have Carlos Hernandez for, well, an interesting reason. Basically, Carlos Hernandez was off on a trial with Real Salt Lake City, and he was told he had to be back by the 4th. He turned up on the 11th, from memory. Well, he didn't actually get a contract with Real Salt Lake City because the club told him he was too fat. Too many pies, which is the honest answer. It is true.
So, too many empanadas. He's a Costa Rican.
But yeah, look, great game down in Melbourne. Adrian Layer playing in the back line, did really well there. A bit of controversy over some tweets which Victorian Police were sending out.
I mean, let's focus on the game first. I think it's important not to let a scandal overshadow what was a great advertisement for the game. We had a 1-0 loss for the local Australian side.
I like that you're saying we and you're keeping it neutral, because we get a lot of stick for saying, oh yeah, you're Sydney FC boys, but well done there. Pat on the back.
We get a lot of stick. You get a lot of stick, Pete.
Yeah, I don't care if I get stick.
Michael and I tend to remain quite neutral. It's Pete Novikovsky that tends to waver. Yeah, good game, Michael, wasn't it?
As I was saying, we, the local Australian side, Melbourne Victory, in their pre-season, had what was a pretty good hit out for them. You had Celtic also in their pre-season, but having had, you know, a couple more competitive games under their belt, Melbourne didn't really have much possession in that game compared to the boys from Scotland. So, yeah, it was a bit unfortunate, but the hero of the night, which is quite lucky, actually, considering Dean Bazanis's decision perhaps to turn his back on signing for the Victory, was Tando Vilappi, boys.
Bit of a surprise, to be honest. Like, no one really expected Tando to do so well, because having seen him at Perth Glory, he's been more faulty than really good.
And people have come out, because Dean Bazanis didn't eventually sign for Melbourne
Thankfully.
Victory, and people have now come out with a bit of faith in Tando. And that is, as you say, Pete, a bit of a surprise.
And a bit scary. Having faith in Tando, come on, it's a bit scary.
But it's an interesting one. I think the worth of a player a lot of the time is how much they fear making a mistake and what that will cost them. And I think the coaching perhaps has a fair bit to do with that. I think Fergie down at NIB Stadium probably doesn't have the same effect that perhaps Mehmet Djurakovic has after his outburst with the Carlos Hernandez situation. So, yeah, I think Tando has a lot more to lose if he stuffs this one up, and that showed on the night.
And the confidence that Tando gets from the faith by Mehmet is remarkable, isn't it? Because you saw with Matt Ryan at Central Coast Mariners in the past season, he was given the first starting spot. and was first choice keeper for the majority of the season. And the faith that Graham Arnold showed him really paid off.
Yeah, he was one of the stars of that Central Coast side and had an absolutely supreme game between the sticks in the grand final, the A-League grand final. So, it is very important to see what a bit of faith can do. But let's not forget that Tando had as many games as he wanted at Perth Glory and as many mistakes as anyone could want to make in goals as well. So it's going to be an interesting one, given that there's a big A-League season ahead of him and Melbourne are, you know, in a bit of a new chapter.
Okay, we've focused on the game enough, I think, for Rochek's liking. Victoria Police. They had a couple controversial tweets, I guess, say they were comparing a number of evictions, I'm sure you've seen it, the number of evictions with the game score.
Well, look, if you haven't seen them, I'll go through a couple of them here. First up, game about to start with one person already evicted from the ground. What a waste of ticket money. The score is 0-0 at the soccer with only one eviction. Score 0-0, evictions 4. Celtic 1, Police 5. Game over, Celtic 1, Police 14.
Yeah,
just goes on. It's horrible.
It's provocative and unnecessary. There's a lot of talk. Francis Leach got on Beyond the 90 and had a lot of interesting comments to say, being a Melbourne boy, about Victoria Police. So if you want to listen to that, jump on to the podcast of Beyond the 90.
BeyondThe90.com. That's where you'll find it. It's under podcast.
Let's move away from the news for a second, because I'm going to introduce... I like introducing new segments to the show.
With only a moment's warning.
Yeah, we'll come back to the news shortly. But first up, a lot of people find us via Google.
Yeah, Google.
A lot of people find us via Google.
Do they?
They do. And,
okay,
and specifically searching for keywords. And there's been some interesting keywords. We know what you've searched for, guys. So,
well, you know exactly everything that we search for whenever.
Whenever you Google something, the site that you click on, we know what keywords you've used. Well, so here are some. Here's a new segment, some interesting ways that people have found the football sack. Number one, what is A-League football?
Yeah, it's
what is A-League football? It's been around for six seasons.
Existential question.
That was probably, that's your standard one. I think one that we would hope that people would find us by. But then we've got to, where is Kaz Batafta? And I think...
Still Newcastle Jets.
Yeah.
Yep,
well,
still there.
A lot of people want to know how he went from Sporting Lisbon to...
Benfica.
Benfica.
Benfica to Newcastle Jets.
And exactly what's happening. So... probably not too weird.
If you're going to go on the Football Sacks page just to find out where Kaz Batafta is these days, then that's cool.
But then the next one is a doozy. And it is, which school did Claire Polkinghorne go to?
Sadly, I don't actually have an answer to that.
We don't have that answer, but the stalker obviously does.
Yeah.
Because it gets worse. The next question, who is Claire Polkinghorne's brother?
Wow, okay, we're getting an in-depth analysis of Claire Polkinghorne, obviously.
I wonder if they ever found these answers on our website. I mean, it's a very strange one.
Claire Polkinghorne obviously writes for the Football Sack. I'm not sure if she told us which school she goes to or who her brother is. Moving on, why is Catherine Connolly not in the team? She was obviously left out of the World Cup squad.
Yes.
Can you answer that?
Sydney FC centre forward in the W League, meant to have played for Illawarra Stingrays this off-season, had a bit of a break from football, and basically wasn't good enough to be picked for the World Cup team. So there's your answer right there.
And we found it on the Football Sack podcast.
There you go. We're just answering your questions. It's a bit late. These have all happened in the past month.
If we could answer the next one, I think we'd be much more popular than we currently are.
All right, let's see what we can do.
Winning multi-bets. Have we ever given away winning multi-bets on the Football
Sack? Have we actually won a multi-bet?
The reason we have. Ooh. Scott Condon won one a while ago. And the reason that people have found us through that is because we did have a promo with Punt Club a while ago and we won a few multi-bets through them.
Yeah, it's always good to have a smallish punt here and there. But
gamble responsibly.
But we've never really been a winning multi-bet bunch of guys. We've done it once.
Keep the hopes up. We've got a new season coming up.
We tried every week for the whole season and got one.
We pretty much tried every single combination as well. I mean, we finally hit it and it was a 30-week season. So I wouldn't be searching Google to find us with that.
Yeah. The final Google search was taking the A-League by the balls.
They're close. It's grabbing the A-League by the balls. But at least if they can remember part of our logo, slogan and everything, that's cool. I like that. Yeah.
Grabbing and taking. Grabbing the A-League by the balls is probably a bit more... bit more appropriate than taking it by the balls.
I don't know, taking the A-League by the balls, it's very polite. I like, I'm just taking this. But it's like grabbing,
I think grabbing the A-League by the balls probably has more sense. Taking is sort of this, you're coming in there, you're muscling in, and you're taking it by the balls. It's like taking the bull by the horns.
Let's leave it there before the show derails even further. Let's go back to the news. The Matildas, right. As we said, they've been knocked out. They've gone. Last Sunday, they were beaten by Sweden quite comprehensively.
Oh, it was really painful to watch, to be honest, with Servat Unsala again, with Kim Carroll in the back line there. Yeah, look, things just didn't work. Things are falling apart there. Yeah, it's not good.
It was a strange one, which we had, 15 different striking combinations by Tom Samani, but the real issue during the whole World Cup was really the defensive pairing, and he didn't really change it once.
Yeah, which is a bit interesting because Clay Pockenhorn deserved a start, at least in one of those games, which he didn't get it.
Mm.
But yeah. One person who did get the start in the Sweden game, Elise Perry, Matthew, you're going to admit something here, aren't you?
Well, she had a great goal there for that. That stunning goal.
It was.
A stunning goal for a stunning girl. Basically.
Oh. I detect a little bit of love there.
Bit of a crush.
Well,
so we've got Michael who's got a crush on Kaya. We've got Maddie here with Elise. And
Elise Perry, stunner, she gets a lot of the press. She does the cricket and she does the football. Good on her for that. But she's just a good-looking footballer. Her footballing prowess is beaten by no other.
Maybe by Kaya. I don't know. Like, Elise Perry did have a great game for that goal, but in terms of the two first goals, it was her marking on the wing that kind of let her down. Some crosses were able to be delivered quite easily, and she sort of plotted about...
After the game, when they were interviewing her, they just said to her, how'd you go? And she said quite honestly, I've learnt right now not to let someone turn on me with their better foot because she got beaten twice, two goals were scored because of that.
And it was an interesting one. She gets into this defensive position and she sort of plods from left to right, left to right, left to right in the same sort of pattern. And the Swedish player is looking for the opening. And if she just keeps plodding with that same stepping pattern...
Yep.
There's the opening. Straight away, you sort of jink one way, you're gone.
Yeah.
You're absolutely gone. The cross gets delivered, and there are some big Swedish girls who can really rise in a crowd in Kai Simon-like fashion.
But one player who played absolutely fantastically for the Matildas and actually earned themselves Best Young Player Award of the 2011 FIFA Women's World Cup, Caitlin Ford.
She was a shining light when we were 3-1 down. She kept winning possession, getting great meters. It sounds like a league analogy here, but she really did go forward with a lot of, impetus and really showed some creativity. It was great to see. A very young player.
She's only 16. A lot of years of football in front of her as well.
Doesn't it really shed a positive light on how the women's game is developing in Australia that one of our talent, our 16-year-olds, 15, no, like she's only recently 16, I believe, has won this award. So good on the Australian development of women's football.
Mm. And a lot of credit has to go towards Tom Samani for actually giving her that opportunity because you don't know whether or not another coach would have said to a 16-year-old, yep, you're starting in all these games. Mm. But credit to her, and she's done brilliantly. It deserves the award, that's for sure.
And it's been, broadly speaking, the Women's World Cup has been an absolute revelation. Every 4 years it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Better and better.
It does. And I've got some family in the States at the moment, and they've arrived, and the only thing that people seem to be talking about is the fact that the US football team, or the soccer team, is in the World Cup final, and it's the women's team, and it's going to be a massive game, boys. You've got Japan, who've been compared to Barcelona by some in the women's game. It's going to be big. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm kind of backing the Japanese on this one. I'm really looking forward to that.
I think that they're going to get the result as well, yeah.
Wasn't before the World Cup, there was not a great deal of talk, especially in Australia, about Japan as the powerhouse, I guess, but they've come out and they've surprised everyone. Well,
one person who made the guess that Japan was going to make it to the final, Brian Gibson from Australian football.
I remember
he
that.
Said from the start, Japan's going to make it to the final. Mm. No one actually believed him, but now look now.
We all thought when we thought that there was an upset against Germany, and we thought, well, we beat Sweden, we're going to beat Japan because we did that in the Asian Cup final. We're going to get to the grand final. We're going to get to the World Cup final. And it hasn't turned out that way. And
perhaps
Japan,
a bit too confident, a bit too cocky, I guess.
Yeah, but Japan really have come of age in this World Cup, and I think Asia is backing them on this one. I think the US are quite an imposing team, but the Japanese will not give up possession too lightly.
All right, you're talking about your love for Kaya Simon. We also love a specific A-League player who has the same last name, That his name is Matt Simon.
We don't love him.
Well, we love the things that he says.
But this is very true.
Allegedly says. Doesn't say.
He doesn't say them. But we would assume that if Matt Simon says this, then we would have a segment. So we're going to have Matt Simon Says.
Matt Simon Says. Yeah, you didn't do the intro music. Thank you.
That was terrible.
If you can work on some music for next week, Pete, just write that down. We'll work on some Matt Simon Says theme
sure.
music. One thing that Matt Simon says this week, he said...
Yeah, we're the only team that beat Celtic in Australia. Oh, wait, I didn't play.
I don't think he's going to... I don't think he's going to play a lot this year, boys. I think he's going to have a tough time behind Bernie and Beanie Ise, especially with some of those statements.
Okay, we need to get Matt Simon on Twitter. Okay, that would just be perfect. If
we can actually find out what he says.
I don't think we'd be that interested.
Ben O'Neill from Such Ghost Mariners Media Manager, if you're listening, please get Matt Simon on Twitter.
I'm not sure. I think it'd be as about as illuminating as having Shane Warne on Twitter.
Hey, I love Matt Simon and his comments. Anyway, that was Matt Simon Says. Let's move on. Costa Barbarouses, he has left us.
Yes, he has.
Like, just gone.
Yep.
Someone, out of here.
Yeah, someone's bought him a parka and bought him a couple of coats and some scarves. And yeah. He's off to Russia.
I think he has 5 coats.
Yeah. Just layer up.
Yeah.
Mm. One for each day of the week.
Mm. There's 7 days in the week.
Yeah. No, no, but each. Oh, man. You guys are killing me here.
Yeah.
That the Russian, why would you go? Why would you go to a Russian first division side? Got relegated. It's a very, very unforgiving, cold, monocultured place. I'm not sure.
No, but Russia is a good segue into the rest of Europe, I think, at least.
Yeah, but it's quite closed off. It's only recently that it's become a league that people actually watch. And a lot of the league is cut out by just the bitterness and coldness of winter. You have like 6 weeks off in the middle of that league because it is too cold to play the game.
Yeah, Poland does the exact same thing. It cuts off over Christmas time.
Russia is a long way further east than Poland,
and it's
very, very cold there.
Well, it'll be a good change because looking at where Costa's actually played before, it's been Wellington Olympic, Wellington Phoenix. He played for MacArthur Rams for a little bit. He's played Brisbane Roar, and now he's going to this freezing cold temperatures. So it'll be a big, big change for him. Physically, the environment, but as well as the style of football.
And they don't speak a lot of English in Russia. And they actually, there's not many other types of people in Russia. It's quite a harsh place to play. If you've ever heard Luke Wilkshire talk about his experiences playing in what is reasonably cosmopolitan Moscow compared to wherever Costa Barbarouses is off to, it's going to be Vladikavkaz. Alania Vladikavkaz.
That's the one.
I'm just not sure that he's going to have the most awesome time there. But we'll see. You have to remember, though, that he's not a Socceroos striker, so he doesn't get the same, benefit of playing in the A-League that, say, Dario Vidicic might get. But he's off, and good luck to him. He's going to get paid in some oil money.
But also, Brisbane Roar received a bucket load of money for him, selling him in the range of $500,000 as a transfer fee, apparently.
Where did you get that from? It's been undisclosed everywhere else.
I know sources.
Yeah.
I know people.
Yeah, in banks.
Yeah, yeah.
Not public information that we've just released.
Yeah.
Don't trust me for figures. It's an undisclosed fee.
It'd be a nice fee for Brisbane Roar to get. But I just question whether he might not be back in about 3 or 4 years' time.
But it is a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Who knows? This could be a pathway for him moving into, I don't know, Germany, or he could go to like another big European league, or we could just see him come back in about 2 years' time when he's fed up of Russia.
Tail between his legs.
Mm.
Longing for the A-League, longing for Brisbane Roar, the quality of football that they play.
And it's a long way from Russia to Germany. It's not many people make that move. It's not really a pathway. I think the Russian first division, there's not many scouts that are going there. So, look, good luck to him. We wish him well. We hope that he doesn't come back without having achieved a lot.
See you later, Barts. All right, we'll take a quick break, and afterwards we'll talk about some tweets from the Victoria Police saga and a bit about the youth teams playing in state league competitions.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
All right, Victoria Police, saga continues. On Twitter, there were some interesting replies to what their statements that they made regarding the Celtic
match. So Victorian Police actually use their Twitter feed, unlike FFA?
They actually do. They are, so, not to take it away from them, they do regularly update Twitter as to what's happening about Victoria. Because
that's actually really good then. it means that there's a proper communication. Now, I'm just putting it out, like, one thing which I find absolutely hilarious, Secret Service is on Twitter because they wanted to increase their public identity, apparently. Which
hilarious.
That's really good.
Which Secret Service? The U.S. Secret Service? Or?
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Secret Service, I heard.
That's so secretive.
Yeah.
But carry on. Let's really sink our teeth into this Victorian police scandal. I mean, you have a very successful advertisement to the game, and thank you very much to Lou Stickett for bringing out this famous club. What a great gesture. He put probably a lot of his own money on the line as to make this thing happen. And it's been overwhelmingly positive. We've had great football culture and exchange of ideas between some very drunk Scotsmen and some local Australian fans, and it's been good for the game. But then we've got to this situation where Victoria's police seem to be sticking their neck out into all sorts of areas where they probably don't seem to have any expertise to be doing it. They referred to them in these tweets as Celtics, who are a basketball team. Last time I checked, and a lot of comments that were really very unhelpful. So we've got some responses to these comments from some of the Twitterati, those who like to get around on the football fans that like to get around on Twitter. So we've got David Manica, who's he writes for Football Federation Victoria, and he writes today. So at Victoria Police, how many evictions at the AFL today? And it's a pertinent question, isn't it, boys?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, furthers the idea that there might be some sort of conspiracy theory down in Victoria.
Yeah, that police only tweet for the football matches.
It's not a conspiracy as a lack of understanding. I think they sort of have this view they're soccer hooligans and that they are bound. I don't know if Victoria Police has any sort of vested interest in talking down to football fans, but that's exactly what they're doing. And for them not to have somebody managing these comments and for them to be unaware about it when they make an apology, that's not good enough.
You know what often happens with these bigger companies, or I guess you can call them
organizations,
is that they'll put just the interns in charge of the Twitter.
Yeah, but I think for a lot of these people in that generation, Twitter's quite a new thing, and they don't understand that these are public statements going out with Victorian Police badge on it.
Anything you say is quotable.
Exactly, and some of the statements were beyond the pale. Michael Zullo put out on Twitter as well, glad Victorian Police have apologised for their ridiculous Twitter comments. There was also John Didalitza, who is at Melbourne Heart, saying the eviction count may be funny, but last time I checked, Victoria Police weren't comedians unless...
Neither are Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, unless Marnie and Tackleberry are back on patrol. And I think it was hopeless. And you also had Melbourne Victory captain Adrian Layer on Twitter actually responding to something that I said to him. Look, it's time that you guys as players supported us as fans as much as we support you guys. And he said, yeah, it's not good enough. The comments are rubbish. I have to be careful what I say.
Yep.
But, you know, it's good to see that the players are standing shoulder to shoulder with their fans on this one.
Exactly.
Yeah, good on him. Possibly a good time for us to stand hand in hand.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. Hand in hand. Let's just stand shoulder to shoulder with our sponsors, North Coast Academy Football.
Yep, it's a unique footballing experience. Basically, it's a trip of a lifetime. You get to check out Wolverhampton, Wolves home ground, to Nottingham Forest, Manchester United, so you get to go to Old Trafford. Fantastic experience, that's for sure.
So basically, it's a 21-day tour around the UK. Jump online, jump on a website, and click on the ad that is there.
Yep.
And you can go on this all-expenses-paid tour of the UK and check out. I think you can go as a player or as a referee.
Yep. And it's under $6,000, which makes it even better.
Get around that. All right. Quick thoughts, boys, on youth teams. Sydney FC, Adelaide United possibly.
Melbourne Victory, Melbourne Heart.
Playing in the local state league competitions. Good or bad?
I think it is fantastic. But my biggest question right now is not only about youth leagues, but I want to see W League teams participating in the women's state league team.
Yeah, I mean, that's another topic. It's great to see that. I think when we've been out to see our state league games, that it is a league that has a lot of youngsters playing in it already. And I think it'd be great to have those two pools not being, you know, separated artificially by a structure, and having these guys playing each other more often. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the question is that because they've come out and said they will be playing for points, they won't be relegated though. So how does that work? Does it make a bit of a fuss off the competition?
Yeah, you have to think. If it's Sydney FC's youth team and Melbourne Victory's youth team, you'd think that they would do okay, that they're not going to come last in the table.
Well, no, that's not true because
You'd hope that
the Melbourne Victory youth squad is largely made up of the, is it NT, not NTS?
Do you mean VTC?
VTC, down in Melbourne. It's already a largely Melbourne Victory squad. So, and they're at bottom of the table. They lose many, many nil. It's not true. They I don't know if they will be competitive. And for them then not to get relegated, it makes a bit of a interesting situation where the competition becomes in a bit, not farcical, but questionable. If Sydney FC play in the State League competition in the New South Wales Premier League, the idea is that because the A-League and the New South Wales Premier League doesn't happen at the same time, so effectively you can support two teams. And now if you bring in Sydney FC as a youth squad into the local competition of the New South
Wales
Premier
following
League,
the
then
team
you can't follow
12 months of the year.
Yeah, well, that's true. You can follow Sydney FC for 12 months of the year, but the people playing, the people supporting, say, Sydney Olympic, Marconi, they then are a bit disenfranchised with Sydney FC because they're then opposition.
How many people do you see at New South Wales Premier League games actually saying, oh yeah, I'll go to Sydney FC games every week?
Because I think it would be more than you think.
There's not many. There's not many. When you sit there and you actually talk to people and you find out and you say, oh, hey, did you see such and such A-League game?
But
they say,
do
no,
anything
I don't watch
to convert
the
them. It doesn't do anything to then convert them back.
If you get the Sydney FC youth team in the New South Wales Premier League and you have Sydney FC in their face and saying, oh, look, this is what Sydney FC can do, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I will go along. At the moment, there's no connection at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a broader issue. I think just in terms of having the FFA and New South Wales football talking to one another is one thing. But I think in terms of introducing this connectivity, I think it's a good idea. And I think it's a good first step. I think we need to get the FFA Cup up and running. But I'm all for it with the A-League youth teams playing. That'd be great.
All right, we're running over time. We're going to have to leave it there. That was the boys, Michael Rochek and Pete Nowakowski. Thank you for coming into the studio and being on the Football Sack Podcast.
No worries, happy to be here.
Always a pleasure, boys. Have a great Sunday.
And see you all again next week.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.